Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From Postcard from the Past and Wardour Studios, this is Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. This is the podcast where we look at little cardboard oblongs for longer and more closely than is strictly necessary as we attempt to understand the memories, meanings and stories held by picture postcards. I'm Tom Jackson, and today I'm delighted to say my guests are broadcaster, writer, podcaster Julia Rayside and comedian Tony Law. Tony and Julia, hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
So, Julia Rayside is a journalist writing a lot about TV, especially in The Guardian, and her opinions and her voice can often be heard on the radio, including Six Music, and she casts the pod enthusiastically with her legendary show, Always There, of course, about the Hampshire-based boat soap, Howard's Way, and her new podcast, which is going to take her away from the Solent, Box of Delights, which is going to be about every TV show in the world except Howard's Way.
Literally, I think I'm banning it just because, you know, enough's enough. Yeah.
And Julia comes to us today with a very smudgy postmark. Why is that?
Well, because I was an RAF kid, so my dad and my mum both actually were in the forces, and actually my brother ended up joining the RAF too. I think I'm the weird one in the family because I just think that's the last thing I wanted to do. But yeah, we moved around.
There's still time.
Maybe it's like my second career when I have a crisis. But I was born in Gloucester, I think. I still haven't ever been back to the city of my birth, so one day perhaps I should. But I was there for a very short time, a few months. And then we lived in Northern Ireland for quite a long time during the Troubles. That was fun. My dad tells stories about carrying a gun. And, you know, I had no idea. I was just, you know, I was a tiny kid.
Yes.
And then we moved back to this country and then still moved around endlessly. So, my postmark is almost indecipherable.
Right. But maybe it's where you are now.
I think so. London is the place I've been the longest. So, yeah, I'd say it is. Yeah.
Very good. Now, Julia, do you still send postcards?
I do. I do because I've got a nearly 10-year-old son. And actually, it's a really nice way to stay in touch with his friends during the summer holidays. So if ever we go somewhere, he always likes buying postcards. We'll go and sit in a cafe and sort of fill them in. And I always tell him, he always gets really jealous. Whenever anything comes through the letterbox, he always runs to the letterbox, picks up the usually boring brown envelopes and goes, "Ah, nothing for me." And I always say, if you want to receive post, you have to send post.
Oh, very good. A philosophical position.
I know exactly. And I'm trying to encourage him to like write to his friends. And I was a mad letter writer when I was a kid. I had pen pals all over the world. You know, I loved all that stuff. But it's harder to encourage a young person these days to take up the pen. And
but it's funny, the joy of receiving stuff through the letterbox, it just doesn't go away.
No,
it's
delightful.
I mean, even for adults.
No, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I've still got friends who are a bit like me who'll send me a package for no apparent reason. And it makes me so happy. I almost, you know, can't express it.
Apart from when you get something from Amazon and it's in a massive box.
Yes.
But you can use the box if you've got kids, usually.
You can. In fact, the box is usually more popular
and
than
stuff
the,
out of it.
Totally, yeah.
And it's a nice little bit of a fort. But we got tweezers. Like, this sounds like I'm making it up, but we got tweezers inside of a small box, inside of a big
shoebox.
Yeah. Mad.
It's ludicrous.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the big campaigns for this century, I think, sorting out packaging, isn't
God,
it?
God, yes, absolutely. It's essential.
Now, Tony Law...
All I got was comedian.
Yeah, he's a comedian.
That's all I am.
There's more. You'll probably have seen him on adverts for Gala Bingo.
Oh, God, that's a long time
ago. But if
ago.
You missed them, you'll have caught up with him on Have I Got News For You, 8 Out Of 10 Cats, on stage in his numerous caffeinated, rambunctious stand-up shows. And you'll have heard him on podcasts, perhaps on the Tony Law tapes, or caught his spectacular show, Battle for Icetopia, an unlikely event, experimental comedy opera on ice at the Alexandra Palace.
Oh, yeah.
I am really cross I missed that.
Yeah, we should do that again.
Yes, please do.
We'll book Ali Pally soon. Make it happen.
That was good. Also, I did a bunch of Sky adverts, too, if we're bringing up adverts. But, you know, when you go in for a casting and they ask you to write down your adverts, I can never remember the ones. So I used to drink a lot up until 2015. And so if I've done any adverts back in that time, I sometimes forget. Like, there was a repeat on Radio 4 Extra the other day, and someone said, oh, you were great on that thing, something versus the thing. And no memory. I mean, that doesn't mean I was drunk all the time, but I think it means that your memory's no good.
Yeah. Maybe you were busy as well. And
yeah,
lots of work coming through.
Could have been. Yeah, I know this is the terrible thing, is I was actually busier when I was an alcoholic than I am now. It's like,
that's a bummer.
Don't listen, kids.
I really hate that guy.
Now, Tony, you also come with a deeply smudged postmark.
Yeah.
So what's your complicated travelling background?
I got a Northern Irish connection as well, but that's just my
good
dad.
Good accent.
I any excuse to just drop it in.
What about you, Tony?
Your man.
Sorry, everyone.
My dad is from up there, but then he was a child in Canada. Then he left home at 14 to work in the oil rigs. And then the oil rigs sent him and his twin brother, Ronnie. Ronnie and Donnie went to Trinidad and Tobago to work offshore on the oil rigs there. And that's where he met my mum.
Okay.
And on an oil rig?
Well, yeah.
Standing on the deck with the wind in her hair, waiting for your dad.
Yeah, there she was. She was a roughneck spinning chains. But
does that mean?
No, that's that. Well, anyway, that's the thing where they always lose their fingers on oil wells.
And did that happen?
My dad kept all his fingers. Uncle Ron lost a couple of his.
Did he?
But then, he met Mum in Trinidad, and then they had my two brothers and me there. And then we moved to Canada because Dad wanted to be his own farmer. And he bought a farm, and we went back to Canada then. And then we used to go back to Trinidad quite a bit in childhood because Mum, obviously. And then who to this day still loathes Canada because of its weather.
Oh, really?
And
who loathes Canada?
She just hates it. It's a godforsaken country.
Is it a really cold bit of Canada?
It's all cold because it's left to right.
Right.
So it's actually latitude. It's the same as London where we lived. But it's on the top of the Canadian Shield, so it's like super, super cold. And then hot, super hot, too. But anyway, I moved to London when I was 19 because I was got into history nerd, and just loved travel and seeing places, and I couldn't do enough of it from there. So, and then it's been like the longest... I was going to say gap year, but I was never in college. So, but it's like the longest...
That's why it's a gap. You haven't been yet.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's, I haven't been, I've lived here ever since with a few sort of forays in Europe and stuff. I lived over in the continent for about 5 years, but like.
Well, that won't be happening anymore.
No.
Well, actually, it shouldn't have for me before because I was on a Canadian passport then.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but it did.
You snuck over.
There's a will, there's a way. Yeah. There's always a way.
Well, that's a very philosophical position. This is great. Tony, when did you last send a postcard?
Oh, see, what I've started doing probably a long time ago now is I just bring them back to, because the people I'm going to send them to are the ones I live with.
This is nothing about the rising cost of postage, is it?
No, nothing like that. It's more I'll just get a stack of these and I'll fill them out in the room and then I'll it probably started from forgetting to post them.
Yeah.
And then just, hey, look what I got you. And also, they take a lot longer to get there than you. You're going to be back in a minute.
But you do write them. You don't just say, here's a card for you.
I write a tiny little message on it, yeah. And because I do stand up and on the road all around, that's a great way to just let people know what you're up to that day.
Very good. Well, before we discover the cards that Julia and Tony have brought along, I'll give you a quick one of mine. This is, of course, in the postcard from the past sort of style, like I do on Twitter, at Past Postcard, an old card from which I've selected just a part of the message. So this is a rather eccentrically shaped multi-view card, where often you have these squares with different images in. This is done on a sort of curve and a diagonal.
I think we're calling that a sunburst, are we not?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a hint of that. Mm. And it's Hinchcliffe and Barton-on-Sea, which actually sounds like made-up places from a sitcom, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Where have you been on your holidays? Hinchcliffe. And actually, it's the postmark is Bournemouth, 1985, so I imagine it's near there. There is plenty of sand on the beach, but you have to buy your own cement.
Oh, so, that's like some kind of dad joke.
Yeah, they made the joke for us. All we have to do is read it out, which is
great.
Very nice.
That's probably, that's someone who works in construction.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of their material is based around that. It's
can't get it out of their mind.
Yeah. And he talks about his work when he's at home, and he's like, "Oh, I got loads of sand here. You got to bring your own concrete."
He's pricing it up on the beach.
Yeah. It's from someone called Jim. Jim's got a lovely sense of humour.
We should put a bit of this in our suitcase. Take that back with us.
Yeah, that's a couple of old pence saved.
Well, yeah. Pretty penny for that nowadays.
I'll do you one more. This is, you see, there's a seaside scene. This is all in honour of
It's nice.
Julie's unhealthy obsession with the coast.
It is unhealthy. It's a lighthouse and some fishing boats.
It's Portland Bill, Weymouth.
Nice.
People of these islands love the sea.
We exactly. do.
Well, you can't get away from it.
We've got it everywhere.
It's like you're on an island.
Well, it's, this is a scent.
Let's have a look at it.
Nice.
Oh, where's that from?
There are people who get very excited about lighthouses.
Yeah,
I know.
Very blue sky, very nice sort of high contrast.
If you ever post a picture of a lighthouse on Twitter, there are people who will write lighthouse! !
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's like a code.
This is what
or
I've found. Anyway.
Okay. All right.
If you're short of people interacting with
you, sounds like one of the better things of Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the nicest thing you can say.
That's not what most people complain about, is it?
Yeah. That's great.
And this is just a little moment. They said, did we see the red arrows on our way down? The red arrows, RAF flight.
Yeah.
And it said, we thought we did.
But that was always such a big thrill if you were somewhere and then suddenly there's this display to you.
Yeah, and they were such an icon, the red arrows. We all talked, little boys all knew who the red arrows were.
Yeah.
And I just thought, but you wouldn't miss them. You'd know.
Oh, no,
frankly,
they're loud, too.
They're loud, they're red.
They definitely fly in very close formation.
Yes.
But they probably, when they're going from air show to air show, they wouldn't be in a tight formation.
Oh, don't you believe it, sunshine. No.
Spelling God Save the Queen.
They always fly in formation. It's a safety thing. They have to.
Are people as fascinated with the skies as we used to be? So I just see a plane and run outside. Oh,
oh, well, maybe not.
I still do that.
Flying
though.
Machine.
Yeah.
I do see a lot of cards from the 70s. People say, we can see Concorde from where we're staying.
Ah.
Particularly when the test flights were happening. Before it was a sort of...
That was exciting.
Thing.
I remember watching the last flight when I just moved to London and going out onto a balcony and just staring at this dot in the sky.
You never quite got used to it, did you? It was always interesting.
Well, some of those big A380 Airbuses, when they fly over London, they're so big that they feel very close. And like that can be quite a spectacle when you catch them circling. On their way to Heathrow. We get a lot of those in North London.
Do you
North London?
I am East London, so I think I get Stansted.
You get
traffic.
And city stuff.
Yeah, and city.
No,
we
only have hot air balloons in South London.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah.
Delightful.
South of the river for you.
Yeah. Well, to let you know, images of all the cars we discussed today are on the blog, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, so you can see that we're not making this up. Now, Tony and Julia, you've been kind enough to come onto the studio today with some postcards of your own. Julia, let's start with you.
Okay.
The first card you've got actually is going to be two cards we're going to have a look at,
I think. It is.
Both very different.
Yeah.
Tell me what you've got.
Okay, well, it's kind of cheating because I really love, there's a village in Essex called Battlesbridge, and it is, the whole village is just junk shops.
Oh,
it's it's like Lovejoy, an old TV reference, sorry. It's effectively just full of antiques dealers
Lovely.
And sort of, people who trade in this stuff. And a lot of it's obviously just rubbish, but, there's some really interesting things. And not that long ago, actually, me and my family kind of redid a little weekend jaunt out there and just were truffling through all the old all dusty stuff. It's my favourite thing to do. And there was a pile of postcards. And I just picked this one up because it's not even a place that really means that much to me, but it's a bit of a cheat. It was written to someone called Miss J. Cullum, who lived in Diss. And it looks,
In Norfolk.
Yeah. And it looks like, and it's actually a postcard from Norfolk to Norfolk, because obviously it's very important to send like inter-county
postcards. Well, it may not be so much a holiday thing, just as a communication.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to look at it. There's no real date on it, but that's quite an old stamp, I'd say maybe 20s, 30s. I don't know, just very old.
1906, I think.
Oh, really? God, yeah. I love that you can just do that.
Yeah.
Wow, you're like a machine.
Well, it says 06.
Damn.
No. I'm not that clever.
Like a proper postcard now.
That's 1906.
Yeah.
But it's more than 100 years old.
Probably take about a week to walk that.
But it would take less than a day to arrive, the
postcards.
That's
incredible.
Yeah, because they could send them in the morning and they'd arrive by tea time.
On the backs of squirrels. But so this one is, it's really beautiful.
Yes.
It's quite small. It's probably, I guess, is it a colourised black and white photograph?
I think so. Yeah, I doubt if it was taken in colour.
But it's beautiful. It's of somewhere called Paul's Ferry, Norwich. And it's a very sort of pretty green scene, lots of trees. There's a little what looks like a lock or something with some rowing boats and a man standing up in a coracle. I always love a coracle.
Yes.
It's just a nice picture.
Isn't the comedy writer Andy Riley now a coracle expert?
Oh, I believe so. That sounds like him. Yeah, yeah. There is a coracle museum somewhere, or at least there was.
Is there?
Yeah, because my husband wrote books about tiny museums and he went to the coracle museum, yeah.
What's a coracle?
It's like a little
again?
Round wooden boat.
Yeah.
It's almost circular.
An unlikely boat, yeah.
Because it wouldn't go in any particular direction.
That's a very Norfolk boat.
It's very Norfolk. Norfolk, yeah.
on the fens or whatever.
Yeah, you can go around in circles.
In a shallow fen, you can have a coracle.
But it's got very, very, very tiny writing, and I don't have my glasses, so I can only read a bit of it. But all the writing on the backs of these postcards I was leafing through is so beautiful and done with a proper fountain pen, so microscopically small. And I read a few of them before I picked this one out, just so I'm taking that home. And they all call postcards PC. Thanks for the PC.
Yes.
Just delightful and like a little mannered thing. The reason I picked this one up is because the woman writing it obviously is from Norfolk, and she writes it in her accent.
Oh, wow.
Which I just thought was a bit lovely. So she talks about, thank you very much for getting in touch. If you comes to Norwich, you will call me, won't you?
Oh.
It's like if you comes with an S on the
lovely.
End. Do you have to do it in the accent? I'm sorry, it's the second bad accent I've done in this one podcast. Mm-hmm. I apologise profusely. But I picked it up just because there were so many things about it that just made me go, oh.
There's never such a thing as a bad accent. Do them all the time.
Okay, laddie. Sorry.
Who's it from and to?
So it's to Miss J. Cullum.
Yes.
And it's from a lady called Laura, your friend, your loving friend, Laura. And it's just very formal but very sweet and then a little bit sort of colloquial and just there's everything in there, a little friendship.
See, you may have noticed the stamp is at a sort of 45 degree angle.
It is.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Well, that was a sort of secret code. Not very secret, but a sort of a code.
Oh, my God,
use.
Were they secret lesbians?
Well,
that's what I want you to say. They were hiding their love in a friendship.
Mean with love, that angle.
That's blown my mind.
But I think possibly that could also mean, you know, a loving friendship.
Well, in the old days, everyone used to know at least one lesbian couple who lived near a lighthouse.
That's it.
That's how it happened. That's how it had to be in those days.
We invite you on this show for your wisdom, Tony. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm old.
But that is what that means.
That's genuinely exciting.
Yeah,
so that angle means we all know how to stick a stamp on straight. That's not hard. I've deliberately done this.
And of course, the thing was, because postcards are semi-public,
your
mother
thing.
Might see it, or if you're more wealthy, the housemaid might see it.
Wow.
So theoretically, these messages were more sort of discreet. But of course, once everyone knows that these angled stamps mean something, it's no longer a secret.
It's like the language of the fan, isn't it? Like as soon as people learn the code of the fan, then it's not a secret language anymore.
And it's very much like that. And in fact, there were postcards that came out showing you all the different angles and what they meant.
Amazing.
But then occasionally cards had different kind of interpretations. This is crazy. Well, which angle do I use now? Which version are we using?
Yeah.
And then the French had a different one again. But there you go.
That's so good. That's
gorgeous.
It's an extra little level of loveliness that
it's
actually
really
be a secret
sweet.
Love message.
Yeah.
And
she's
written it so carefully and, it's just lovely.
And by way of extreme contrast.
Extreme contrast. It's a photograph of some meat. So I brought this in almost thinking, oh, no, don't bring this. It's a bit silly. But so I'm a massive comedy geek, always have been. When I was a teenager, I was obsessed with, you know, Chris Morris's stuff, Brass Eye and all the shows he was making, the radio stuff he was doing. And then latterly met a lovely comedy writer called Joel Morris, got married, and then obviously he knows lots of people who work in comedy, as I'm sure you both do, and we just ended up kind of bumping into Chris Morris and sort of becoming friends with him and his wife and his family, and his Christmas cards are unique. And it's been on our fridge for ages. And I was like, oh, just get some postcards. And it was right there. And he clearly owns a laminating machine. I don't know if that's like an exclusive piece of information.
I've always fancied them. They do them in Lidl from time to time. And I've often fancied getting one.
You're doing well when you've got a laminate machine.
I think so.
Yeah, either right.
So he's taken a picture of, and if you hold it the right way up, I think that's like a sort of chandelier. And then it's a very dark gothic looking picture. And then it's just some meat. I think it might be lamb on the bone or something. Livid kind of pink, uncooked lamb.
It's got those sort of some meat.
Yeah. Some meat.
The colours are like a Francis Bacon, actually.
Yeah.
They're kind of that.
Are they? You
bunch
know
of
that
meat.
Art, right? But it's the thing. So this is what he does for Christmas every year. He makes some kind of slightly unpleasant picture, laminates it, and then writes on the back. And so this one is to Joel, Julia, and Dougie, and it says, "Christ all meaty, love Chris and Joe." And it's just his Christmas cards are just always really interesting, and it's a postcard effectively, but it wasn't actually posted with a stamp
so
on the
sort
back.
It's a photograph that's laminated, and it kind of comes up like a postcard.
Yeah,
it works so good. Like you can
right.
That
it's
can
festive.
Mean whatever you need it to mean.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Just a really big old blob of meat, and there's nothing like offensive about it.
No,
it's just. Here's some meat.
What's that phrase I keep hearing in the news at the moment? Creative ambiguity.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, he was always good at that, I think, Chris.
I feel like that's what I've always done.
And if you told me when I was, 15 and just like slack-jawed at all of his amazing stuff that he'd one day send me a Christmas card of some meat, I wouldn't have believed you.
Brilliant. And I'm not surprised you treasure that. That's terrific. So, Tony, now you, as a man who's travelled round the world to get here, effectively, over the years, you don't have all your stuff with you, do you?
No.
What's the first cards you've kind of got in mind for us?
Well, Soviet Union cards, basically. When I was 12, they said in our little Western Canadian town at our school that when you get to 17, there's going to be... They told us about this history club you could join, and there's going to be an exchange with the Soviet Union.
Wow.
And they gave us like all this time to start learning and saving money, and we had to do bakes, a lot of bake sales. And
what did you bake? Just that minute.
I can't remember. Johnny cake, whatever that is.
Can we have the recipe?
I don't want to know.
And then I also raised a steer.
You're joking.
And I sold some hogs, but we but all of us saved up our money over the years, and we did this trip to the Soviet Union. I was 17 years old, and I'd been to Trinidad, so I was unique amongst my friends as having traveled. But you know, when you're 17, like you're excited to go anywhere, and we stopped in Paris for one night on the way there. We were so excited. You're with your best friends and you're in Paris and everything's new and wonderful. And then you get to the Soviet Union and man, and I don't think this is me remembering it this way. I remember feeling it at the time that this is different.
Yeah.
Like even I've only been to Trinidad and Paris and across the border of the States and then in Canada, but this felt just different.
It's other, isn't it?
It was
like, this
so,
is not home.
Yeah, and it blew my brains out.
Where
and
were
all
you?
Of us, so we stopped, first was in Leningrad. We were there for 5 days, and then we went to Moscow for 5 days and just used those from those satellites out. We stayed somewhere else that I can't remember. I wanted my mum to go get them from home, but she's gone downhill.
Okay.
So, what was I? Yeah, Soviet Union. Yeah, he was mad because it was so different. And I have to say, by about day five, though, it was also depressing really quickly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was so like even my brains then was work. Like, I loved it, but I couldn't have imagined having to live there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I felt bad for him. And it was great because we met local kids our age, and they were supposed to be just an average group of kids from a local Leningrad high school, just like you guys. We're freeze. So we prepared like a couple of little plays. There was like presentations between us.
Wow.
And most of us though just sang. Like not even one person in our group knew how to play the piano, so our teacher had to do it. And we sang, "This land is your land, this land is my land," the Canadian version. So that was our little show done, and then we sat down. And then suddenly the Soviet kids get up, and the first one up is like, like a concert pianist.
Oh, my God. Diddle-loo.
And we're just going, holy cow. This is a talented, typical school. And then there was a contortionist. And they did all this extraordinary stuff as we just sat there with our mouths open. They were so talented.
Wow.
And that's just an average Soviet class.
Genuinely, they hadn't...
No, they hadn't done what you would imagine the Soviet Union to do, which is to show their brightest and best.
Wow.
It was, so how did you get in? What were the postcards then? Where did that fit into it?
Well, because they would often, the postcards would be of just like a thing that's important to them that you've never read about or heard about. It'd just be like the Ministry of Cheese or just, I feel like they would just go out and take pictures of rural corners they like to take pictures of hotels.
Yeah. So not necessarily beautiful, just sort of quite just municipal in a bit.
Yeah, like look what we've got a hotel. Just like you guys got hotels. Look at our hotel.
There's a kind of aesthetic to those Soviet cards. Now, someone brought out a book of Soviet bus stops.
Oh, God,
On postcards, I think. Yeah, or maybe just photographs. But there's a whole kind of look to them, which was quite hard to describe. It's very sort of modernist, kind of futuristic.
A bit brutalist, maybe.
Yeah. Very brutalist.
Because I remember walking around Leningrad or St. Petersburg, but just admiring the old architecture, which they weren't keen on showcasing.
Wow.
I mean, we went to the Hermitage and, you know, the Summer Palace and all those businesses. But they weren't, that wasn't what they were trying to celebrate. They were trying to celebrate the Space Center.
Wow.
Of course.
The progress we're making.
Yeah, yeah, it was all of that. That's what they thought we would want, too.
Yes,
yes.
We were keen on the old stuff.
But it's always strange to think what a country thinks other people
That's
want
right.
of it. I mean, it doesn't have to be in a kind of a cut-off part of the world like that. Even here, you think, what is it that the British government thinks other people want? It's always a bit difficult to sum up a country, isn't it?
And I also think they used to do things that, to me, in hindsight, feels like a game. Like, they would make us all put our cameras in a bag before we got on the coach on certain trips. And I'm thinking, they're surely not stopping us from taking pictures. We're kids on a bus.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think they're doing it for, you know, give them a bit of excitement. They think we're all spies.
Obviously.
I reckon they're just doing a bit of fun like that. We're allowed to take pictures near the airport.
No.
All that. And I'm just thinking, I bet if the Americans want to know what's here, I bet they already do.
Yeah,
If we're here, I don't think you need to
worry
about
it. It's a strange permit. I once went to the tip to drop off some garden rubbish and saw I saw a really interesting pile of old TVs piled up in one corner of the tip. Yeah. And I was like, that's beautiful. And I went to take a picture of it and the guy was like, no pictures. Like, no pictures?
At the tip.
Are you kidding me? What am I going to do to the tip?
What are you talking about? That's nuts.
So, these are the freedoms they're taking away from us.
Yeah, and
EU rules, that was.
Right, exactly, let's get our country back, right? Yeah, yeah.
I fell in love with a girl.
Take long.
I was so excited by life. And also, you know, I felt so sorry for them. Because there's just no color there. And none of them had any kind of, when you spoke to them, they had no hope.
Oh, geez.
Like, it's just like, we didn't have the same. But she was gorgeous, and we were just chit-chat, talking about music. And she had heard luckily I was into really old British rock, so I'm listening to Led Zeppelin at that time, and she had some Led Zeppelin had made it into her.
Right.
And just so happens on my Sony Walkman.
Oh, yes, the 80s.
I had Led Zeppelin 4 on it.
Oh.
And I gave that to her, and it was like you couldn't do this anywhere in the world now, but then she was wept. So, like,
giving her a bar of
just
gold.
A cassette of Led Zeppelin. And it sounds like fake thinking about it, but it's true. Wow. She was so, and then she then wanted to give me like a ring. And I go, no, that.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you some plastic.
And
she, no, I insist, and through translator. And I was like, no, I can't have that. But yeah.
And if you go back now, you're technically married in like a...
I'm married.
Yeah, actually a bigamist.
Well, how interesting that these postcards remain a kind of symbol of this strange transformative trip you took.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you
And they're just great to go look at on online.
Yeah, and they're all there now.
The rabbit hole, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Well, thank you for sharing that. One more quick one from me. This is a car. Now, it could be Howard's Way, but
it's not. It's nice little waterside.
It's Lynmouth in Devon, North Devon.
Yeah.
And this is from the 60s. It just intrigued me because you look at these views and you can't help being a little bit, if not nostalgic, kind of drawn back in time. You just think, well, this is from, you know, this was simpler times.
Yeah, creamy old England.
Exactly. And what amused me about this, he says, it was crowded with cars, not half as pretty as when we saw it in 1952. So even in the mid-60s, they were being nostalgic about...
Holidays are getting worse.
It's like that old Seinfeld bit when he says, you know, when you get to 40, you think, God, when I was 20, I didn't know anything. And then it's like, do people when they're 95 think, oh, when I was 80, I didn't know anything?
We'll have to wait and find out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to Podcasts from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. My guests today are comedian Tony Law, journalist and podcaster Julia Rayside. Now, Julia, what's the second, third, next card you have
the
for
other
us.
One yeah. Well, this is, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward one. This is from, it was to me, what year it was, again, glasses can't see, probably about 2014, I think. Can you make that out, Tom, on the postmark? I think it's about 2014.
I think it might be.
And it's from my dad, Jim. And he died last year. And so I've just been, you know, definitely in a bit of a nostalgia place, going through old things, old boxes of stuff, my old correspondence. And actually, I thought I had loads of postcards. This is one of the few I still seem to have. They probably are somewhere, but, you know, it's somewhere in the mess of my house. But this one, it was really nice, actually. It reminded me of a lot of things about my dad I'd kind of forgotten, most of which is... So I've got a lot of his old stuff. And as a boy, some of his school books and his handwriting is exquisite. And then something happened in his retirement. I don't know what. And he just started writing along a ruler, insisting he must say nothing has tails.
Right, right.
All of the kind of writing is just like bang, 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 banging against the straight line of a ruler. And it's just a very odd... It's just... It says something about, I don't know... He suddenly decided he had to become very formal in his correspondence. But I really like...
So what's the picture?
So the picture is, it's a big cruise ship. I think it's called the Aurora, is that right?
Oh,
yeah,
right.
The Aurora.
It's massive.
So he and my mum took a couple of cruises in retirement, did that thing to various places they went, sort of to Egypt and around the Mediterranean. I think this might be a Mediterranean one. I think it's Malaga this was mailed from. And... But it's just, I just liked it because it's very, it doesn't really, again, postcards never really say that much unless there's like a coded stamp in the corner or whatever, you know.
Between the lines.
Exactly. But because the nature of them is public, you know, you write a postcard in a way you wouldn't write a letter. There's the lack of intimacy, but, you know, you're also sort of trying to be chatty. So it's just him literally saying, you know, we're going from here to here. There are sea breezes. It's a smooth crossing. There's nothing really there, but it's just him saying, I'm thinking about you. I'm on holiday. And my mum was always the corresponder sort of in our family. She loved writing letters and carried on long after I moved to London. She was still kind of writing letters rather than email, even though that's just quicker. But it was really significant that my dad wrote this rather than her. Yeah. I think he was just like, I think I want to talk to Julia and tell her what we're doing. So it will always mean quite a lot to me because, Yeah, because my dad wrote to me, and that's really nice. Mm, so it's a fairly straightforward one, but it's lovely.
No, I think that's in a way, that is the purest message of all, really, in these postcards, is nothing much, but the fact that you're thinking of the person and want to communicate with them when you're far apart, particularly.
Mm, that's nice. Yeah, because it's in our family. My mum did all the communication, and I can't even imagine my dad doing a postcard, but that's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
But if he did do one, I bet it would be with a ruler.
Definitely. They all have to use a ruler. What is wrong with
them? But maybe it was a bumpy ride on the boat, and the ruler was necessary to be the sea buffeting the side of the cruise ship.
You'd hope so. He was, he was a seafaring man. He was a sailing instructor.
Oh, well.
In the RAF, so he was very used to boats, but he always got seasick on big boats.
Oh,
so you
really?
Might be onto something there. He might have been, like, desperately holding onto the desk and just kind of trying not to look. And
I wish I was on a proper boat, not some big bloody hotel on the water.
Yeah, he likes sort of little wooden boats.
And you've got siblings in the RAF now?
No, I had a brother in the RAF. Ah. He's dead as well. I'm sorry to bring everyone down, but, years and years ago, he was in the RAF too, and he met his wife exactly the same way my dad met my mum. She was a nurse. He was in the RAF. Met her on the first day, fell in love, got married. My brother joined the RAF, first day of training, met his wife, gorgeous nurse, got married immediately. So, he repeated history.
So the RAF's a good place for love?
It's a good place for hot nurses, I'm told. to make this into a carry-on film suddenly. But, it was a weird repeating of history.
Good. And, of course, it goes without saying that one of the reasons you still have that is that postcards are enduring and nice to look at.
So they are.
It's kind of, it remains, whereas in a way that, obviously digital communication wouldn't.
Yeah, and I think even though this is only relatively recent, it still looks like something from the 1970s. It's a very kind of the love boat picture of a cruise ship on a blue
ocean. It's a terrific photo, actually.
It is. It's a great photograph, clearly like an aerial shot, and that there's something very, in my head, locked in, that particular kind of blue and the ship
the
and the sunlight.
The depth of the colour of the sky and the sea it's otherworldly, and then you've got this kind of luminous boat.
Yeah, it's like it's seen through sunglasses. It's sort of polarized, isn't it, where the colours pop. And
a spaceship going through space.
Yeah, I like it as a thing. Going on a cruise is such an old-fashioned thing to do, and it was very my mum and dad.
Would you do it?
No, I don't think so. I think I'd go mad. What if you met... My thought is, if you met someone awful on day one and they just wanted to be your friend, you'd be... Like, it would ruin your holiday.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of gigs, guys that do gigs on cruise ships, and I've never done it. The idea of dying on your hole on the first
and
day.
And then bumping into
the scene the whole time.
Me again.
Being patronized every day. Well, we could...
God.
Maybe it'll be better to...
I didn't think of that. Yeah, that would be awful.
Yes, and the word would spread.
Also...
Because it's such an enclosed community.
Like a stomach bug.
You need to be you need to have a broad sort of set.
Yeah.
maybe you have too eccentric an act for that.
Yeah. I think a kind of hipster / surreal set might not be what those folks want.
No, maybe a
shorter journey, like the Isle of Wight Ferry or something.
Yeah.
I've done something similar to that before.
Really?
That's just lots of drunk people, so that's fine.
That worked?
Yeah.
Very well, thank you very much for sharing that personal card with us, Julia. Really, really, really kind and interesting. So, Tony, what's your final
card? My wife introduced me to the world of art, and since I come from a farm and I bring a big old chip on my shoulder,
a wood chip.
But I felt like an open, a blank slate. I was introduced to the world of art, and I thought I'm going to dive head in. And the kind of joke in my family, my daughter is also into art, is that Daddy has no taste, no matter how much he loves it and how...
Good starting point.
And so wherever... Yeah, because I always like the most mainstream thing or just a thing that they go, that's not... if you like Picasso, that's not the thing you should like.
Right, yeah, done it wrong.
I love like a nasty... scenic. I love Bruegel, with all the peasant.
Yeah, what?
And the devil and all that. And
busy paintings.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, I like the Middle Ages before they got good again at art. How they lost all the skills from the antiquity.
You're being deliberately contrary now, aren't you?
But they look like that kind of looks like I could do that with a bit of concentration. But anyway, so what I do is I grab a postcard from wherever I'm gigging at. And bring it back, and it's kind of like an in joke where I talk like a, because my Canadian accent isn't sort of working class enough sounding, so I have to adopt
another
one.
For this particular joke you're doing.
Yeah, and I do it on every one. And so this one is, this is just a Claude Monet. It's Le Bazin aux Nymphes
It's the famous one.
Yeah.
The bridge.
It's the bridge.
And it's a square postcard, slightly different shape.
Yeah, and it's just, you get these and you think, well, that's a great way to just sit when you've got time.
But that's quite
annoying. I really appreciate it.
The painting's not square and it's making my teeth itch.
Oh, right, yeah. But you can always
They cut off all those extra details.
Yes, the wrong ratio.
The people, the aeroplane in the sky.
And so I write things on the back of them like, reckon we got ourselves a feller can paint. Well, he figures he can. I reckon it needs more lines. And I'll do something like that and send it back, and then everyone's like, oh, daddy, you're such a moron. So I play up to that. And I think I maybe play up to it too much, because, like, my dad genuinely had to ride horses to school.
Right.
And I think, wow. Do you ever adopt stories that aren't yours for fun and flair?
No.
And I told the kids I had to ride horses to school.
Why not?
And you've got to stick with that now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Suckers.
10-year-olds are suckers, aren't they?
I love tricking kids. They're so stupid.
But they're going to pay us back anyway, so get it in while you can.
Yeah.
But is this whole thing a defense mechanism? Are you
probably
kind of making up for something?
Just insecurity.
Okay.
Yeah, just covering up. I figure if I make fun of myself first,
get the first punch in.
Then we're laughing.
Well, I mean, you know, we've been talking about the world of comedy. I'm sure there's plenty of people playing the same game. And I'm sure a lot of us are playing that game.
It's a career full of... Well, it used to be just full of people with low self-esteem.
Oh, yes, it is.
But then all of a sudden, people with, like, really good university degrees started doing it, and I just feel like it's not fair.
You can still
that's
have
cake and eat it, isn't it?
Yeah. I suppose. Maybe that's why, yeah. But there are people who could do, like, other jobs. Because comedy used to be for people who would run out of options.
Right.
Didn't it? Yeah. And that's, but now there's people who are, like, seemingly sorted out.
You could have
it.
A proper job. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Don't you think it's just a way to get chicks? Isn't that still...
Well, I don't know. I never found it that... it was never that for me. For me, it was always... it's like a need to get... That's how I got love. So if people laughed at me, that validated my existence.
Right. Yeah. It's even more fundamental.
I'm like the old school class clown kind of. So it's going to happen, as Stuart Lee said, it's going to happen anyway. Like, you're going to act like that anyway. So
right, you might as well.
Monetize
but you in your show, you... Well, bits of your shows, you do play with that whole thing of whether the audience are going to like you or resent you. Don't you? You walk that tightrope.
Yeah. Push it out there. and try and be as deliberately artistic.
Is that what it is?
Well, I think if you can get laughs by being quite obscure, then you're really cooking.
Yeah.
Because you're drawing people in, aren't you?
Yeah.
If you can paint into you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I suppose, I mean, from observing it, I get the impression you kind of reach for a moment that you don't even know is going to be there, if it's going to work or not.
Yes.
And if it works for you and it works for them, you've really got something.
Yeah, then it's really exciting. And then the people who get into it really, really like it.
Yeah.
And I like talking to them afterwards, and it's like...
Yeah. And I suppose you made something as well.
Yeah.
That wasn't there before.
That's
right. You went, that little bit, was an empty bit there, and it's not empty anymore.
But also, you know, there's guys and gals out there who do observations of pop culture, and they're really good at it. My mind just doesn't seem to hone in on what's going on. Like, I'm more interested in, at the moment, Indo-European horse tribes.
Oh my God, me too.
Yeah. And I figured, if I can make that into a thing.
That's going to be
you really had me excited there.
I'm sorry.
Are you reading about that too?
That's going to be a great routine.
Well, the chances we went down that rabbit hole.
Well, thank you for sharing the card that has unpicked your psyche very accurately, Tony. That's really interesting. Thank you. And thank you both very much. I'm thrilled you shared these cards with us and with the listeners. One quick reminder for everyone at home. Images of all the cards that we've looked at today will be on the website on postcardfromthepast.co.uk, including one last one from me in the past postcard style, another seaside view, Ilfracombe Harbour. Ilfracombe Harbour, 1965, and it's
is that blue again, isn't it?
Yeah, wow. I mean, I don't know what printing technique they use other than blue paint to make that.
Right, yeah, they add it in.
Is that a ferry pulling in there? What's that?
Yes, I think so.
Where's Ilfracombe again?
Devon, Devon as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another Devon.
I feel like I've just been there.
Well, it's funny you should say this. The boat has come from Somerset and South Wales resorts.
Ooh, so like a cruise around Britain.
Yeah, there you go. That's the short cruise you can do, just a short act.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And the message was, someone, I think they were taking a kind of taking an adventure in their social status and were a little bit worried about it. They said, when we reached Barnstable, the ground was waterlogged. Waterlogged.
<Aww. laughs>
And so we did the unforgivable thing and hired a caravan for the night.
Unforgivable.
So they slummed it.
What if someone saw?
Yeah, yeah. But they're getting it in first, so you know, in case someone reports back.
Amazing.
Lodged.
Well, before we let Tony and Julia back into their real lives, I've got one more postcard for you both to have a look at. It has become customary for us to end the programme on one of these.
It's in like a magical pouch.
Oh, exactly.
Thanks.
I'm opening my pouch.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It's a record.
That's a big one. Oh, there's a hole in the middle, yeah.
And grooves. It plays.
Oh, it is a record.
It plays?
Well, Charlie next door has been keeping an eye on things. If we ask her very nicely, she might be able to see if we can do something with
this.
Oh,
my God, it's a picture of a yacht.
Yes, of course, it's with you
Thank
in mind,
you.
Julia.
This is,
I had it made specially for you.
Thank you so much.
Someone's yachting into...
I think they're in Zurich.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yes.
Oh... Well, it sounds Austrian.
Yeah.
It feels ominous, like 1933.
It's a sort of Middle European.
It feels
You're
scary.
You're thinking Nazis.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, oh, the beer colours.
They've ruined that music for me.
It's the equivalent of a hornpipe, I think.
Yes, yes, an Austrian or Swiss or whatever, yeah. It's delightful.
Yeah.
Where do you find these?
I always say the same thing. It's not bad for a piece of cardboard.
It is, and it's very good quality, really.
Yeah, I think so. I've bought second-hand records that sounded worse.
How old is that, would you
I
guess?
Think that must be 1960s.
Wow.
So which is old enough, if you think about it.
Yeah. It's lasted.
Well, as the...
Anyone know where the accordion comes from?
No,
I'd like to know.
No.
But I enjoyed you miming a squeeze box as you thought that thought, though. That was fun.
Where? Do you know?
No. Oh. It's just something I feel like I should know.
Write in and say. Write on
okay,
a postcard.
Yes, listeners. Yeah. Write on answers on a postcard.
Right?
Thank you, Julia.
Have you never said that before?
Thank God someone's listening.
Man, you've missed a sitter there.
We're going to go back and re-edit every other show. Well, as the beautifully handcrafted wooden boat on the lake in Zurich continues to spin round at 45 revolutions per minute, that's it for this time on Podcast from the Past. I'd very much like to thank my first-class guests for sharing the postcards from their pasts, Julia Rayside and Tony Law. Thank you both.
Thanks
for having me.
And thank you for listening. Bye for now. You can see more postcards with their messages posted every day on Twitter. Do follow me, at Past Postcard. And you can buy the book, Postcard from the Past, by me, Tom Jackson, at Amazon and all good booksellers. And if you're looking for podcast production, check out wardorstudios.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.